lone representative.
This is working session of the board on April 9th, 2019 at 12:35 p.m.
Introduce ourselves to you so you get the name of the face. By the way, what did you, feeling that there's less of us? So now in our meetings we get these two brethren and abusing men and who else, Larry, are we going to invite to this meeting?
You mean down the road?
Yeah, just as we go forward.
Commissioner?
No.
Oh,
executive staff.
Executive staff. Lyle again for some personnel, and probably Charlotte Campbell from Dixie High School because of the situation that you guys need to be aware of.
But going forward, we're gonna invite to our work meetings Les.
It's gonna be Brent, myself, Rex, Richard, Craig, who presents both sessions, property and such issues, Larry, and personnel. Chief, when there's something CO related, none of that. From Nate, Amy, Sherry, Lawrence, as we need them.
We feel like we might be a little more efficient in our conversations, and we'll bring folk in when we need them. So
that's the point.
You need our supporting vote.
The other thing is, they're all going to get lunch, and they'll all be in this building. And if we need them at a moment's notice, we can grab them and bring them right in. We just thought we could be more productive, and they could be doing a lot of work. Too many high-paid people sitting around that don't really need to be.
So anyway, that's why we're a little less. But we have more adults here. So
does that mean you're not high paid?
Tuckerville City is being represented. This is councilman. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Because you're sitting
let's
here.
Let's just go around the table and you can get to know these people here. So, first I'm Dave Sterling. You know that. So, folks, just go around and introduce yourself. Councilman Chamberlain here.
He's high paid and just has nothing else to do.
I live a block and a half from the college, goes to my commute.
Oh, no. I love dealing with you guys.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Terry Hutchinson. I'm below 1450 South, pretty much, Little Valley, on South. Okay, to the board.
Laura Hessen. Are we saying where we're kind of representing?
Why not? We've started the trend. Let's do it.
So I am Dixie Sun area, Green Valley area.
Okay.
That way over there.
Very cool. Nice area. I'm taking some photos out there.
Yeah.
Brent Bills, I'm the business administrator for the school district.
Becky Dunn, a school board member, and I represent Santa Clara Ivins all the way up to Enterprise.
Oh, okay.
I'm Kelly Blake. I represent the west end of Hurricane and a good part of Washington.
Walmart West. Oh, okay.
Kind of
west.
Like, yeah, Fields. Kind of up in the
Daisy Springs.
Yep.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Lorraine Cox. And I'm kind of in between Terry and Kelly. So I've got St. James, Four Master Ridge, and Morningside, and then out south of Telegraph into Washington.
Yeah.
Okay. So
all the people we don't want.
The Costco's here.
The Costco guys, yep.
Nice.
Yep.
I'm Katie Boyer.
That's it.
Yeah. I just am here to make him look good.
No, she does that all the time.
She does all the time.
And she's very successful.
She's very successful at it. She's a real... just the whole thing working. And today was just another example. Larry Bergeson, superintendent, started it for 6 years. 6 years, and then here in the district got more ways than one. And I did live here from 61 to 68 when the movie Sandlot was just like that little area. I loved watching that movie because it last being swimming pool and everything. Just, and I just look at Craig.
Well, between his house and my house was just a big
big old Sandlot.
Bonfires and dirt baseball
games, and everyone's playing football and high jump if we found the right stick.
And these two gentlemen back here.
I do a bunch of
Rex Wilkie. I played in Sandlot. No. With the element.
In the 60s or the 50s?
Second.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just make one thing? The thing that would, and you may know this, but the size of our district is just so much more than what people think. We have 50 schools,
yeah.
28 elementary, 7 recs, about to be 28,
yeah.
And about 21 or something like that. We're about 49. Mm. You know, okay. Open 2 more, we'll be at 50, 51 schools, 33,000 kids. So it's a much bigger district because it's countywide.
Yeah.
From Herondale, Springdale, Enterprise, Perfect. A lot of people don't realize the scope of what this board manages. Annual budget is about $300 million, Brent?
$325 million this year, but yeah, $300 million.
Don and I are really good friends. Oh, you don't know Don? It's Lee. Never mind.
Yeah.
You're part of the
Neil.
Oh, I know Neil.
Yeah, Neil's like my really good friends.
I've been listening.
I'm name dropping everyone.
Darren Thomas still the principal out in.
He is at Hurricane
Foundation.
I'm name dropping.
Replaced Jody Rich, who wanted to be a counselor.
I knew that Jody had stepped down from being principal, but I didn't know who would replace him. Okay, we used to be in the same ward as the Thomases. Yeah. I'll have to make fun of him.
One of the things we do in this time, we do communities in to talk about usually we like to just ask questions, so maybe have you tell us a little bit about growth in your city, projected growth, things that are happening within the town that might affect us. If you have questions related to how we are doing as a district with educating the folks in your area, we'd like to talk about that. Again, if you have any questions regarding that. But what I'd like to do, maybe, Alex, just give you a minute to talk about Tokerville growth. What's planned? What's happening?
Yeah.
And just kind of give us a state of the city address in relationship to maybe some mutual interests that we have.
I'd love to. Well, we actually ran across some really interesting demographic data in one of our recent meetings, and that is we now have about, counting current building permits, we have about 660 rooftops in Tokerville. So, you know, we're not your biggest client, obviously. But the interesting thing was we had about 440 in 2012.
That's
50% growth over the last 7 years. Yeah, which we that kind of blew us all away. And we realized that there's been construction happening and, you know, that the city's been growing. And that's kind of projected to continue.
Alex, I drove through a couple of months ago for the first time in a while, and I was shocked that it looked like there was construction everywhere. Is that?
That's just the road.
No, I saw a lot of
there are rooftops
going up.
Yeah, especially
that West Fields area is where it's a lot of
the West Fields is one of the more dynamic growth areas.
Well, the West Fields and also Choya Creek and Trail Ridge Estates.
Yeah, Choya's always,
you know, which are right next to like right there. It is experiencing massive growth, and I know we always hear rumors that, you know, eventually there's going to be probably a school in Tokerville or else the north end of Laverkin or something like that, that'll necessitate another school, and I imagine that's probably on your radar already. It's probably not giving you anything you don't know. What you might be interested to know as far as just an update, we've been working really hard, and especially the last year, we are firing on all cylinders to get everything in line to have a bypass road going around the west side of Tokerville. We're working with the very last landowner right now, and things are looking very positive as far as getting the route for the bypass road dedicated all the way from north to south. And, you know, from there...
Where would that road...
So I can show you.
I was interested in this one.
So this would be a little small. I keep wanting to do a finger spread and just make it a little bigger. But there's two possible routes being considered right now. Where this big S curve comes, the road may just kind of branch right there and kind of head down here until there's an area called the Hog's Back, which is, I'm trying to get oriented here, right about here, and basically it would just kind of come down and then punch back into that Hog's Back a little before people would turn off to Zion, because we're getting a lot of traffic through town compared to our historical levels, which is, you know, nothing, essentially. The more likely route, from what I can see right now, sorry, I'm going to
do it.
Right, this first as you first start to veer left after this straight shot off the freeway.
Off Anderson.
Yeah, off Anderson Junction. It's more likely that this is probably going to be the branching off point, mm-hmm. and then you know, it'll come down here again to the Hogsback, basically the same alignment. But
where's the Hogsback? Tell me where that is.
So the dip right between Hurricane or right between Laverkin and Tokerville.
Where you gotta go down.
You go down, you're next to Ash Creek, or Laverkin Creek, sorry, for a little bit there. And on your left, there's just kind of a sheer wall of rock for a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's the Hogsback. It's actually really, really skinny. And so they're thinking they would cut through that and punch the road in right there.
Mm-hmm. What are you accomplishing? South side of the cemetery, right?
Yeah,
south cemetery.
Okay. What are you accomplishing? Trying to keep that traffic that's all just trying to get to Zion's anyway from coming through town, or what are you doing?
Trying to preserve the historical part of town. UDOT, their future plans include a lot more traffic and wider lanes, and basically wider lanes, especially with some of those older homes there, cannot be accommodated without demolishing some of our historic buildings. And if essentially that makes the residential part of Tokerville into a very high traffic area for tourists, for through traffic. You know, we have no businesses there. We're trying to kind of, in the name of city planning, we're kind of trying to say, okay, we know this can come with commercial development. If there's room, there's room out here. Let's push the traffic there. You know, keep the noise and the congestion out of the main part of town.
You said you've gone from 400 rooftops to 600 rooftops. Mm-hmm. What's the dynamic or the makeup of most of those new rooftops, and what do you see going forward in the future in terms of
families or like second
how old kids? So retirees, maybe older kids, younger kids?
Anything I could tell you would be a guess. If that information was in that PowerPoint, it was definitely too small to read. So the short answer is I don't know. My experience so far is that there have been a lot of families, and beyond that, I think I'd just be guessing. I don't think I would have anything useful to actually speculate.
The thing is, they can build those homes over then in that Westfields area, a similar home in maybe in St. George or Washington Fields, $100,000 cheaper. Mm-hmm. So to be honest with you, that's why a lot of families
even
moving out
the lots
there
are bigger, or the lots the same size.
Yeah. Lots are bigger.
Half acre lots, a lot of the ones on that in that area.
Hey, Alex, what's your impact fees in Tokerville? Do you have an idea?
I don't. Not off the top of my head.
It'd be interesting for comparison, because what I've heard is folks that live in Hurricane have a number of people that are willing to buy or build over in Tokerville, because the impact fees are cheaper and the houses and other things are less expensive. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
I haven't seen housing be less expensive. Quite the opposite, actually, but
he's already built
a high life. So it might be cheaper to build their Tokerville and it might be cheaper to build in Tokerville versus
in my area.
Existing homes.
I'm failing to parse that sentence properly. It might be cheaper. Building in Tokerville might be more competitive from a cost standpoint than buying in Tokerville.
Do you have significant lots available to build? I mean, is that...
Yes.
Have you approved subdivisions in other places?
Yeah, and we've got subdivisions up for approval right now, but we just approved a preliminary plat for him went down on Church Road at the very end there. There's stuff coming. I mean, it's not near the volume you'd see in Hurricane or something like that, but for us, it's pretty big.
Are you limiting growth at all? I mean, are you doing anything? Do you feel like you've got water and your sewer capabilities and all infrastructure in there to accommodate
the growth? The water is a tricky situation. That's in flux. But yeah, I mean, I think we're fine.
And are there building lots? I mean, are there quite a few building lots that are done and approved, ready for somebody to come?
Yes. My wife's a realtor, and she's got they've got a subdivision in Tokerville, a whole subdivision that they're working with people to build on or representing the
the building. How did the folks in Tocqueville feel about the busing situation to the public schools?
Okay, this is one of the things I wanted to talk with you guys about. So
hit a button.
There's a can of orange. We love Hurricane Elementary School, at least as near as I can tell. My kids go there. I'm really good friends with the principal. He lives in Tocqueville. And we love Hurricane Elementary School. Their emphasis on STEM and Principal Lowe has been awesome, honestly, for the kids. Just, you know, the way he handles a lot of the different situations that I've seen come up from my kids' perspective have just been... Anyway, he's just a saint. And we really loved the fact that our kids get to go there, even though it's kind of odd that we're literally busing them past another elementary school. I did kind of want, and I'm sure you guys have had your ears just filled with this, but the intermediate school situation is interesting. And one of the major concerns that I both have myself and have heard voiced by some of our other citizens with kids that age is just the amount of sleep that a child at that developmental stage has to miss in order to get to school on time if they're in the intermediate school. I understand you've got a situation with bus drivers, and, you know, the need to provide benefits if somebody's full time and you know the corresponding drop in applicants when you pull back from full time and can't offer benefits, you know, it's a budget thing. But I just wish, and maybe that's all it is for this meeting, but I wish there was some way to come up with a creative solution that didn't require those kids to miss so much sleep.
The start time, so you can
start time.
Well, it's a 7:40 start time.
Yeah,
it's for a 12 and 13 year old.
Mm-hmm.
I share the same concerns and have for 6 children.
It's been discussed, so you know.
I'm sure it has. Yeah.
Alex, what time do your kids get on the bus to go there?
So my elementary school kids get on at about 8:17. My intermediate school child, we have elected to homeschool her first period because we tried it out. She's in her second year. She's in seventh grade right now. We tried it out, and she was sick. And admittedly, she is our child who needs the most sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think next year when my current fifth grader ends up going to intermediate school, I think he'll be fine. He gets up earlier than any of us in the morning, and I think he can handle it. But my
what time will the bus
seventh grade? I think it's 6:45.
Okay. Yeah, I would have thought it would be somewhere in between 6 and 7.
Is there a way we could do a mandatory sleep bus where they had, you know, music playing that would be soft and soothing and kids sleep while on the bus?
I think it'd be. Yeah. I don't think. For example, I've got a granddaughter that goes to the intermediate Sunrise Ridge. She is over sober. Always have it with Stady Hill. She isn't far off at that time. By the time she goes, which is I thought could even be earlier. I think some might be as early as 6:30. With some of the intermediates.
I've
been doing it at 6:45.
Like you said, I hate it for all my kids. I hate it for all my kids. But we don't have enough buses.
Yeah,
and they have to be staggered. And here's the catch. I mean, we talked about this for long before any of you are in the room. The research still shows that high school kids need the most sleep, middle school kids can do a little bit better, and intermediate of those three groups, intermediate kids are still better off getting up early than their. And that's what the research says. I mean, good, better, best, or bad, worse, and even worse.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's the parents who don't sleep at all. So
depending how you do it, it's intermediate kids as a whole do better on that early slot than the high school kids do.
Yeah. Well, and I can appreciate that you guys have turned out, looked at it from so many different angles. Yeah. I guess,
but I still have
a goal here. It would be to just keep it on your radar in case some sort of solution.
That's understood, though. Travis, Alex, we have looked at that. My granddaughter pestered me.
Otherwise, the elementary.
This is because neither one of them were really well. A was better. The older one, she's at Crimson Cliffs Mill now.
Zero period.
She just said the same thing. And there's times when I go over and back. I forget how early they started.
Because it is. One that gets up.
Most of it is. A mountain buses and rides.
I'm going to need your sleep.
You can use less buses. So it saves hundreds of dollars. It's a lot of it.
We don't have buses or drivers to get all the kids to all three levels of school.
The issue really runs around the high schools. So it runs around being able to have a more, you know, a 0 hour class, meaning before school class if they have it, or they have some programs before school, and getting out in time that they can do the extracurricular activities for high schools. So the high school time gets set first. And so originally we had the high school starting at about 8 o'clock. It was like 8:05, I think. Mm-hmm. And then we had the elementary was supposed to start at like 8:40 or something like that, and then the intermediate was supposed to start after that. Yeah. Well, the intermediate didn't like that, so they all got together and started at 7:15 in the morning. And that's how we ended up with the current schedule, and then we scooted everything back a little bit so that still worked for the high schools, but that's how intermediate ended up being first, was they didn't want to go last.
Gotcha. But and that stagger at the buses and when they go and not being treated.
Yes, but you have to have three. Stagger it three ways, otherwise we can't get enough bus drivers.
It makes sense. Just please keep that on your radar, though, if some better solution can
we will.
Becomes apparent. We drive our seventh grader every morning, and that's actually been kind of nice to have a little time with her. Mm-hmm. But she just, that first, what was it, 2 to 3 weeks or so of her sixth grade year, she was sick the entire time, and she needs more sleep than a lot of kids, you know, so that's probably an extreme end of the situation.
I have my last two of it, the same thing.
Yeah?
And I live
a daughter who's like
2 minutes from the school.
Oh, there you go.
Can I make it something what you might want to have changed? This is my son to the T.
Yeah.
2 days after his graduation, they found out his gallbladder was bad.
Oh.
That's why he was sick for 4 years.
Wow.
Because they had issue with him. They finally had to take him to a pediatric gastroenterologist to find that out. But something you may want to check into on that.
That data that talks about that you quoted, Craig, I believe it. But I just cannot believe that a child functions better.
I'm not saying any child functions better.
No,
but don't your children. Good, better, best, or bad, worse, and even worse. Yeah. It was a degree thing. And the ones that did the very worst early was the high school kids.
My dad didn't care. He got when we were working the summer, we were up at 4 o'clock in the morning because we had to be on the road by 5, so...
He was allowed to beat you if you didn't. Anyway, what
that was
more
child labor.
Was. You would have to ask
there
about
is one observation actually that we. So our kids are all in the Spanish immersion program at the elementary school as well, and now the intermediate school, and we've loved that. We've been really just impressed, and honestly. Our seventh grader is at kind of the bleeding edge of that program. We've been really impressed with the district's ability to come up with teachers in emergencies. One thing we have noticed that's probably worthy of consideration, and this is not any kind of, you know, this is not proper data that I'm giving you. This is just an offhanded observation. But it does kind of seem to segregate a school a little bit in odd ways. I keep just wondering if it wouldn't be better to have the immersion programs be by school instead of by classes, you know, that maybe that's not possible, but an entire school enrolled in the immersion program, you know, their kids would probably, it almost seems that they get divided into haves and have-nots, that the more affluent kids or the kids with more attentive parents, not entirely, but in general terms, kind of end up in the immersion end of things. And then you've got a situation where the teacher who's teaching non-immersion classes, they end up with all the behavior problems, which is sort of an interesting challenge. and I don't know if that's something that a restructuring could look at. You know, I'm keenly aware that coming into a meeting like this with some armchair quarterback advice is probably could really easily go over poorly, because I'm sure you guys have spent hours in problems that I'm willing to give you a few seconds of spiel about, you know. Mm-hmm. But that just from our end, those are kind of the things that we're looking at and thinking about. That's probably, you know, all I should really say about that. It's just
it's good to have a parent.
It's crossed our radar.
Yeah.
Perspective.
Ours too.
You've noticed that.
Well, you know, there's challenges with the immersion.
Yeah.
That and other challenges. But overall, it's such a great program.
We really deal
with some of the challenges and still want to foster those programs throughout the district.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. Let's say that you're really intent on being in a dual immersion program. Would you bus your child to St. George to go to school?
What time does the bus come?
6:45. But I mean that would, you know, I don't.
If there were a way to keep times reasonable, we probably would consider it.
You like dual immersion much that you would make that sacrifice?
Well, yeah. That would be a decision between my wife and myself. I can only speak for my opinion, but just kind of based on the decisions we've made so far, I think that we would probably look at that seriously.
It's interesting.
It would be really, really hard to leave behind Hurricane Elementary School.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have parents that are on the opposite side that don't want to have anything to do with dual immersion.
Yes.
So
yeah,
and they are perfectly fine with dual immersion being in the school. They don't. That's just not what they want for their child. So
yeah.
We have significant voices that are in that camp. So
yeah, I'm sure.
I understand what you're saying too. So
yeah.
Anyway. Or do you have any questions for this esteemed councilman from the city of Tocqueville? The blooming ash trees that dot the... What trees are those as you go down?
Those are...
Pear.
Ornamental pears.
Yep. Bradford pear.
If you've gone, you need to go down Tocqueville when all the Bradford pear trees are in bloom. It's unbelievable.
Oh, they're so pretty.
Just missed it.
I didn't know. Anyway, any questions for City of Tocqueville?
Okay.
Well, I'll just say kudos to your road idea.
Oh, well, we
hate that switchback.
Yeah.
25 mile an hour, and my husband takes it at 35.
35, rookie.
Yeah. Tell him to get a Beamer.
Not around that 40, corner. 40.
Yeah.
German engineering will take it quicker.
That would be something I'd appreciate.
That's a good idea.
Saved my life.
What's the story on the reservoir? Have you heard anything?
Yes. We keep getting told that it's got to be probably next year. We've been told that for about 4 years. apparently the water district keeps clearing regulatory hurdles, and we are anticipating that one of these years it's actually going to happen, but beyond that, I would guesstimate sometime within the next 3 to 5.
It'll be built full of water.
They'll turn the water on. Yeah.
Once in a while, that's a weird...
Well, thank you very much for coming, and anybody else want to make a comment?
Oh, I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me armchair quarterback. You just
what your attitude's been great about that.
Well,
I appreciate it. And we don't have all the answers, even though we do the best we can.
Well, I do.
I know you guys do. You do an excellent job.
Do we need Lyle?
Okay, we're going to close, and if someone would make a motion to do just that.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Member Blank, the second one.